Welcome to another Octavarius podcast. Let's just go around the room and introduce who all is standing around a microphone right now.
I'm Gustavi.
It's Brian.
I'm LP.
I'm Tins.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Mark.
So, once again, we have a topic of conversation that we'd like to talk about that has been submitted to us from a Robert Hughes. He comes from...
Where does he come from?
Oh, let's see. The letter says he is from Bolingbrook, Illinois.
Ooh, I got family there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really?
I do. My grandparents are from Bolingbrook.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's awesome.
Do they know Robert?
I doubt it. He's old and Cuban.
Do they know that he's Southerner of the Week, though?
Well, everyone does.
Wait, he's Southerner of the Week? He sent us a letter?
Not this week.
I mean, he's a Southerner. Well, anyway, Robert Hughes sends us this following question. Hey, I just heard that the Razzie nominations came out for worst movies of the decade. What are some of the worst movies that you have seen?
How do you know he sounds like that?
Well, he's a Southerner of the Week. I read it somewhere.
He's been in videos before.
It seems racist, though.
We've seen him before.
But I mean,
yeah.
We've seen
the
him.
The Razzies.
He's been racist?
You know what I would say? I would say... I'll start with this one because I'm very passionate about one movie that I hate.
Yep.
And it's made by people I like. I love the Farrelly Brothers. I love the Farrelly Brothers. They've made some great films. I even like the movie Stuck on You. I don't know if you fellas have seen
it. One of the Siamese twins.
Yeah.
Matt Damon and Greg Kinnear.
I have not seen it
all the way through. But every time it's on, I know I'm going to be watching it till the end if you're in the room.
It's really good. It's really good. It's not great, but it's a fun movie.
It's great.
No, it's not great. we all know that movie's not great.
The Siamese twins. I think I've seen some of the film.
But if you watch the whole film, you will be surprised by it.
Right.
But the movie that I hate the most, I saw this movie in theaters. I saw it in theaters, and it was Shallow Hal.
I saw that in theaters, too.
Here we go.
I was furious about Shallow Hal.
But I love Jack Black.
Any of you guys? I love Jack Black, too. I love the Farrelly Brothers. I also like Jason Alexander and Gwyneth Paltrow. I find very likable and an interesting actress. Now, in her personal life, I'm not a fan of Gwyneth Paltrow.
Well, I don't like her movies either.
Really? You didn't like Shakespeare in Love?
I've never seen that.
She named her kid
Apple.
Oh,
you're missing out on Shakespeare in Love. Shakespeare in Love is fantastic.
Okay. Well, Apple is Chris.
I'll watch it with you. You love Shakespeare in Love.
Yeah,
it's great.
All right, we'll watch.
It's Ben Affleck's finest role.
So,
so Shallow Hal is just horrifyingly bad because the thing that gets me about this movie is that in the movie Hal is shallow. We all know this.
Yes.
Fuck you.
So Hal gets hypnotized by Tony Robbins, the inspirational speaker, to see people for who they are.
Okay.
He sees inner beauty after he's hypnotized by Tony Robbins, and does not see people's outer beauty or outer hideousness or whatever. But you only see the beautiful insides. Well, what we find out is in Shal's, in Shallow's vision, in his new vision, is that only ugly people have beautiful insides, and attractive people have ugly insides all the time.
That is why the same rule applied to Octavarius. We are grotesque, hideous, 400-pound motherfuckers. As we're so beautiful, on the outside,
on the
outside, poison on the inside.
Yeah, I'm fucking sexy on the outside, but terrible on the inside.
So,
it's like Hunchback of Notre Dame inside.
So, and then another thing, they play this trick on you throughout this film.
All right,
and they because Gwyneth Paltrow's character loves works in this hospital for kids, and we don't know what's wrong with kids. All we know is that these kids are likable, beautiful children that we all love.
Bill, you seem to know a lot about this movie.
Because I saw the fucking movie and I hate it.
I saw
the
movie.
Know the things that you hate?
No. I mean, I let it go, I guess. I mean, I see something that I hate and I'm like, wow,
I will
bad.
Never let this go because I paid money in this theater and I saw what they did to me with these children. Because the children are sweet and whatever. And then They turn it around on you because once he gets, like, regular vision again, the kids are all burnt and hideously scarred because it's a burn war.
I think that you're mad because the movies tricked you into watching it.
Yeah.
Which, I saw the same previews, and I didn't go to the movie theaters and watch
Shallow. I was fooled.
You know? I did see Shallow Hal in theaters, and I didn't like it at all. In fact, I won't watch it if it's ever on TNT or anything.
I change the channel every time.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, I don't let it affect my life.
Maya, you know...
but don't you have a movie you hate? Isn't there a movie you hate?
The thing about
There's only one movie I hate, Shallow Hal. I hate
I hate way more than just fucking Shallow Hal, which I hate.
There are other movies I dislike, but Shallow Hal is the one... The question was, which movie do you hate the most? Well, that's my one.
Okay.
What do you guys got? Do you have one
that
inspires your passion?
I couldn't possibly just have one. But I've in my mind, I'm thinking about this question. I have it narrowed down to two. And they're both, I'm only looking at movies I saw in the movie theater.
I think two is acceptable.
One was Failure to Launch.
Failure
to Launch on a double date.
Was that Matthew McConaughey?
It's Matthew McConaughey, and it's a paper-thin romantic comedy.
So that makes me sad, because, you know, Matthew McConaughey, very likable guy. Again, like Jack Black.
It's a terrible movie, and any time the plot starts to lull, there's just a really poorly computer-animated animal attack. Like, a raccoon will just come in, and he'll pretend to struggle with the raccoon.
That's great.
No, it's so bad.
Matthew gets attacked by a raccoon?
He gets attacked by so many animals. It's so old. So
many raccoons.
Ooh, the only redeeming thing was, again, I was on a double date, and my date hated it possibly even more than I did, which made me thrilled, because we could talk about how shitty it was. And the couple we were on a date with fucking loved it.
Wow.
Really? They ate up every minute of it.
Wow.
So now we got to make fun of them. But yeah, I guess I at least had a good experience with that. My second one, and I don't even know if this might be controversial here, I fucking hated Rent. I could not stand it.
Or the play.
The movie, you know, I've never seen the play. I liked the soundtrack.
I would imagine that they're similar.
I like the soundtrack to Rent.
Somewhat.
And I went into it with high hopes.
Yeah.
And when I left, I completely disagree with the entire premise of Rent.
What's that?
Do you disagree that AIDS is a bad thing?
No,
it's
no.
It's not bad.
The whole crux of Rent was there are these artists, so they shouldn't have to pay rent. They've got all these songs about how they're not going to pay the rent and how they're going to make art. And I'm sorry, by the end of the movie, I was like, pay your fucking rent, guys. If you were better artists, you'd have the money to pay the rent.
I think the thing about the movie too is that correct me if I'm wrong, fellas. I believe almost all of the principal cast is the people that starred in the original Broadway.
So
musical.
Way
Rosario
too fucking
Dawson.
Old.
No, yeah,
I don't think that's true.
Rosario Dawson is the exception.
Yeah,
I think most of
the
other people were the original cast.
Oh yeah,
which,
all of the other people were the original cast.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
Rosario
so,
Dawson.
If these people were all like 18, 19 years old, just like out of mommy and daddy's house, trying to find their way in life.
Which
I can
accept
they
were
more.
In the show.
Which
originally.
They were in the show.
Which I might have liked to play, but when they're all in their mid-30s, and it's like, I can't sympathize with them anymore. You need to get jobs.
Like, if you're still... If
this
you're
art
still,
thing isn't working
yeah,
out.
If you're
do,
still lighting
you
a...
You still don't understand, Chris, all right?
Yeah,
it's their art.
No, right? You're right. You're right,
and they
Chris.
Have AIDS
you know,
encore.
I didn't really think about that, because when I saw it, I had known about the play before, and I had known about the cast before, and so I suspended my disbelief. But I guess if you're looking at
fuck
it
that.
Objectively as a film... having these 40-year-old artists,
you don't think of like
wanting to pay rent,
like
going,
a couple
hey,
of 38-year-old dudes with a barrel full of fucking fire, throwing papers in it instead of paying a heating bill.
It's like
that's not acceptable.
Drink less vodka, and go go through the fucking help wanted ads or something.
Like
you
buy
know?
Some bread instead of paying $12 to see your weird friend's bizarre art show,
which wasn't good.
Wait,
it was a
pitiful also,
so
I, haven't,
like
I haven't seen the movie.
10 years after.
But does Rosario Dawson not have a job as well? Am I to understand
none of
that?
Them do.
Because she's very attractive. And I think that she would be have no trouble finding.
She's
her.
She's another one. They're all starving artists, but they're.
You know what? I do find in real life that it is hard for ugly people to find work.
Well, I don't want an ugly person working at my job.
Thank you.
I mean, it's gonna be awkward.
I have noticed that, like, ugly people have a harder time finding work than good looking.
They better
people.
Have some good ass personality. I'll say that.
Or love working in caves.
Yeah. I think ugly people just have a harder time in general with everything. Beautiful people.
I think this is what Shallow Hal was trying to teach. that their beauty is on the inside, guys. All right? And they should be able to have jobs.
Well, they should...
Maybe Rosario Dawson's inner beauty was hideous and retarded. And that's why she couldn't get a job.
How do they screen for that in the interview process?
I think they might have.
They're like,
a personality test, it's called, Mark. All a right. personality
hey,
test.
Well, this is so accurate.
Yeah.
Well, Castaldi, you're full of love and support for all these horrible films.
Well, I want to play devil's advocate to your hatreds.
Well, what's your...
Of all the movies, because I was thinking about this when it came up. And I was like, man, I really, like, I don't hate, it's like, I hate, but I can't really think of one, but one I do know that I remember as a child hating beyond words was the movie Face Off, starring Nicolas Cage and John Travolta.
It's so good.
Now, this movie came out years ago. What was that, in the 90s?
Is that
98? 98.
That's a John Woo movie. How do you hate a John Woo movie?
Because I'm an intelligent person, and I remember being as a child being like, you can't do that. It's not how the body works. I'm 12, and I know that.
Why do they switch faces? I haven't seen the movie.
Because they switch faces because... John Travolta is a cop.
No, all right.
No, John Travolta's a cop.
I can understand how this might get confusing.
Okay. I guess, and he's a cop, and Nicolas Cage is a bad guy. And there's a bomb somewhere or some shit, and then, so he has to switch faces and get the information from Nicolas Cage's brother. So he becomes Nicolas Cage, John Travolta.
Are there two Nick Cages running around?
Two Nick Cages running around, but this is where it starts getting a little crazy. First of all,
this is
where it starts getting a little crazy. First of all, he chops off his face and puts it on him. Oh, okay. All right, I'm with
Wait,
you.
Wait, he chops off Nicolas Cage's
face? Not like the surgical. Surgical.
They have a special surgery that apparently
only
both of them...
Only one guy knows.
So, yeah, there's only one guy on the planet that specializes in this, and he knows how to do it. And he also found that both John Travolta and Nicolas Cage... In the movie, we know not in real life, because Travolta's a little soggy around the midsection, that they have the same body type. And so they can switch...
To a T.
So they can switch faces, and then what they do is they use laser hair stuff, and they get them to look exactly alike.
Now, my issue with this whole thing...
They even put in a chip in the throat... So that he has the same voice too.
Bone now, structure doesn't matter at all.
He puts in like implants here in the cheeks and whatnot.
If I might play the science card here,
would you please?
If somebody needs a kidney transplant, the problem inherent in a kidney transplant is the kidney coming into your body is not naturally your kidney. And sometimes the body recognizes it's not your kidney and will reject it as a new organ. This is an entire face.
Yeah, this guy
it's
just
skin.
This guy fixed
it's
it.
Still
he
an organ.
Knew do it. This one guy was able to do it. Look, man, the movie is a fucking stupid movie about like dudes
Meanwhile,
riding motorcycles
I'm gonna say,
and
I'm
doves
gonna say
and
this
shoot.
Much. There's a prison where they wear magnet boots.
Right.
Magnet boots, B-Wall.
I'll have you know.
Go on.
I'm sorry. That movie's fucking awesome. Wait, there are so many fun, awesome gunfights. The gunfight when they're playing,
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow? That gunfight ruled. That gunfight ruled. Just suspend your disbelief.
I can't.
Now,
all right, well, you suspend your disbelief that people on the inside have true hearts, and despite their ugly
physiques.
That
movie was actually trying to make a real statement, whereas Face Off was just trying to blow shit up.
Well, I go into a movie, and I don't want to be lied to. I'm a 12-year-old child, And I want the truth, all right? Don't try to piss in my hair and tell me it's raining, or in this case, chop off John Travolta's face and put it onto Nicolas Cage.
Hang on.
And tell me it's real.
It was not just shot, it was laser surgery.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And they did advertise it as a true story.
What?
which I could, that's how I can understand you being lied to.
Hey,
my, another problem that I had never thought of before is, suppose Nicolas Cage, when he grows facial hair, it grows in like a brown. Say, for whatever reason, John Travolta's facial hair grows in red. Like, just by transplanting your face onto somebody else's, it's not changing the proteins that are forming to make a beard and mustache, right?
I didn't know, I said several times that this doctor knows how to make one person exactly like that. It's a magic doctor. Just assume he's a sorcerer supreme.
Yeah. Oh, well, if you had said sorcerer, you know, I wouldn't be bitching about it.
You know what happens? In the movie, spoiler alert all, the magic doctor is murdered by Nicolas Cage, so they're stuck that way. It's fucking horrible.
Do you remember the scene that precedes the scene you're referring to, when Nicolas Cage is walking around sans face?
I know, wasn't that hilarious?
And it's totally cool.
Yes!
You can do that, apparently.
Well, you know what he did? He says in the movie that he shot himself up with a bunch of drugs so that he can't feel it.
He can't feel the lack of skin on his face.
He was on a lot of drugs. A lot of drugs.
There must be infections.
There are a lot of drugs you can do. I'm sure if you do enough of Vicodin, you could not feel your face.
Was he in a completely sterilized room, even?
No, not definitely.
Or was he in a magic sorcerer's room?
No, because you know what? He smokes a cigarette with no face.
That's
it's
right.
pretty
that's
hilarious.
Right.
Yeah. It's pretty
that's
hilarious.
Not safe
if
in the
dirt gets on
look,
your face.
God, I also get so upset
face?
When people get hit in the head with anvils in cartoons and they survive.
This isn't a cartoon. It's got Nicolas Cage and John Travolta in it.
Dude, fuck.
Fun.
It's the suspension of disbelief.
Oh, my
Fun
God.
Fun fact about Face Off. I just went to the IMDb trivia page for Face Off on my iPod Touch. The studio wanted John Woo to take the slash out of the title, but he kept it in so people wouldn't think it was a hockey movie.
I think that's right.
That's a good idea. I was
really?
About to confuse it with the
How could anyone make that mistake?
Didn't John Woo do
you start
a hockey
every
movie?
Hockey game with Face Off?
Did a hockey movie by the name of Sudden Death. That's a John Woo
movie. That is a John Woo movie.
Yeah, and so
that
maybe
is
he doesn't want to be typecast as the
hockey action director.
Yeah,
John Woo.
Because Sudden
the
Death,
Mighty
as we
Ducks.
All, and this isn't a movie I hate. It's actually a movie I love because I love
Sudden
Claude
Death
Van
is great.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's Die Hard in a hockey stadium.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah,
not like great, but
it's not Die Hard.
It's a fun like John Woo movies are just fun, stupid stuff that defy physics. It's you know. Like, look at Mission Impossible 2 when they're riding the motorcycles and they jump off the motorcycles in midair and they turn to the camera and say, this mission just got a whole lot more impossibler. Like, that's
awesome.
Did they
say impossibler?
No,
I didn't think they said impossibler.
No, that was
I think that'd be much for an audience to...
I wish they did. Ben Stiller wanted them to do it. He made a whole joke about it because he did a whole Tom Cruise joke.
Yeah, Tom Cruise made some shit piles too.
Tom Cruise,
he made good movies for a while, and then he went crazy.
Yeah,
crazy now.
But you know what's sad is like, I really like Mission Impossible 3. Have you guys seen MI3?
I have not. No.
Mission Impossible 3 is actually a really good movie.
I thought it was okay.
It's my favorite of the three actually.
My favorite's the first. The first is the best.
I like the first one, but I actually enjoy the third one more. Watch the third one again, and you might be surprised.
I understand you're very upset, Kittredge. You've never seen me very upset.
Yes, yeah, he was great in the first, but the third one has a lot of great things to it too. It also has Kerry Russell. I love how Kerry Russell dies in that one, where she like randomly like she has the bomb in her brain and it explodes, and she ends up going cross-eyed.
Emilio Estevez is in the first one.
He is in the first one.
Dies.
But he's highly underused in the first one.
Still is.
I gotta say, I got giant blue balls from Emilio Estevez in MI1.
Yeah, he's no... I mean, if you're gonna go, like, other non-Tom Cruise people, I think MI3 has him beat with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman was fucking awesome.
He's always eating a ham sandwich and everything.
He was so good.
I'm eating a ham sandwich. No fine work you don't want either.
It's a great sausage.
Did you know Jack Black and Philip Seymour Hoffman hate each other?
I believe it.
That, like, you know why? Types. Philip Seymour Hoffman hates Shallow Hal.
Actually, Jack Black has a thing against Philip Seymour Hoffman because they were always up for the same parts.
I believe it.
And Philip Seymour Hoffman would get them over Jack Black.
I wonder if Philip Seymour Hoffman wanted the lead in Shallow Hal.
You know, I wonder. You know, they might have been further along in their careers by that time, but, like, you know, and like...
I love Kung Fu!
But, like, Philip Seymour Hoffman got that role in Twister. Jack Black was up for that role.
That's right. Totally
Philip Seymour Hoffman had that role in, what was that fucking Ben Stiller movie where they were playing basketball?
Along Came Polly.
Along Came Polly.
Well, I saw that one on a date.
That's not a situation where Philip Seymour Hoffman got it over Jack Black. Because Ben Stiller and Jack Black are great friends, and he was going to cast him in that role, but he couldn't do it because he was doing King Kong or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, so he got Philip Seymour Hoffman instead?
Yeah.
Well,
I love that Philip Seymour Hoffman's initials spell psh.
This is shit you think of, dude?
I just did right now.
So, okay. So LP, then what's your vote for your least favorite thing?
Least favorite movie. I've only actually walked out of one movie, and that's the movie Phenomenon with John Travolta.
Really?
Travolta movie.
But I don't remember enough of it to hate it. I just remember.
Yeah, got, I like, remember being so bad.
Yeah, like an alien. Like an alien flashed a light on him, and then he got like telekinesis.
But it turned out to be like some sort of tumor.
Yeah, it was a tumor. He was dead or something.
Yeah, but he could make his sunglasses spin.
I remember his sunglasses spin.
He was really charming. He could read books in like a minute.
They had a great song in that movie, too, that was, you know... God, I don't remember the song of that movie. It was like 1997?
Okay.
Wasn't it?
Wait, I'm trying to...
It came out... The movie came out just as Powder came out.
Yeah, it was
which
right
was
around
an awesome
same
movie.
96.
Was essentially
the
same.
Oh, it was 96?
96.
Wow. God, this is
14 years
ago.
I think that was right when Every Day is a Winding Road.
that just came
out.
Is that Sheryl Crow?
Yeah. Sheryl Crow was like real big back. She was like just getting real popular probably.
Yeah, but I don't remember enough because I saw it when I was a kid.
Did you go by yourself?
No, I went with my uncle and my cousin.
You were like 10.
Yeah.
And your uncles thought it sucked.
So. My uncle was like, this movie sucks. And I was like, yeah, I know. I'm really bored. Because I was a kid. I get it. I was watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles instead. I was like, well, all right, let's leave. And so we left. So I don't know.
I would
enough
never
about the
take
movie.
A child to see Phenomenon.
Well, you didn't know, man. You didn't know.
How wouldn't you know? You'd see like the trailers and all the reviews of the film suggested like it's not really a movie that kids would.
I'm sure he saw like, oh, the guy is aliens and he has power. Maybe the kids will like it.
And it's rated PG. When I was a little kid,
it was rated
I just
PG.
Thought any PG movie was for kids.
Well, you know what? Recently, that started to change. It used to be that, you know, like it didn't matter what the movie was rated. But the rating system has now started to dictate how certain movies are made. Like, if you want a movie to be for adults, you insert things in the script to get that R, even if it's not really an R-rated film.
So, like, they won't... Like, you can't say, like, I want this to be an R-rated film, and they'll just give it to you. You have to literally earn it.
Yeah, you have to earn it.
Or, I mean, you can't make a...
You have to earn the R rating or earn a PG-13. Like, you have to take things out to get your PG-13 or your PG. Like, a lot of teen movies will insert, like, an extra fart joke or something. Like, so that it
nice.
Thank you. So that you
just
get that
PG-13.
So that...
Despite
so that,
all
like,
our swears.
So that the movie isn't thought to be, like, for young kids. It's supposed to be, like, for tweens, you know?
Yeah, well, wow, they weird. Do shit like that all the time when they try to make
because
movies.
Of the rating system, it's changed that way.
Yeah.
You know, fucking Indiana Jones, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, those movies were all rated PG, but they created a PG-13 rating after that because clearly those movies were a little bit more violent and a little bit more intense than your average PG film.
Yeah, they do the flip a lot, too, if they, you know, if they want to get an R, and they think they're going to get slapped with an NC-17, they'll put in some extra, like, extra terrible shit. So when they go NC-17, they go, no, we're going to take out the scene where the kid and the horse have sex. We'll get rid of that, And then we'll be an R, and then they'll meet the halfway.
Shallow Hal.
Well, no, like, the
musical?
They did it for,
Sorry, Rosario Dawson.
They did it for Psycho. The original Psycho. Alfred Hitchcock. Who was the actress in Psycho? Whoever that was.
The one that
Lily
was
Tomlin.
Murdered in the beginning?
No. The one that gets murdered. A shot of her naked ass in the movie. And because he knew they were going to have to fight with the censors on the knife scene.
Yeah.
And they said, no, it's too violent, it's too provocative, blah, blah, blah. So then that was one of the things we're going to get rid of the nudity. No more, you don't get to see her naked from behind anymore. We'll take that out. But we want to keep the stab scene as in. And they do that as like a bargaining chip.
Yeah. All right, Hitchcock, just this once. But it better be a classic to have memorable reference.
Yeah. It was Vera Miles, by the way.
Oh,
Vera Miles.
The MPAA is really the MPAA is really tough. They're a tough group.
On some things. And then sometimes you
On just about everything. They're very political. They're they will bend for certain directors and certain studios, but not others.
Well, yeah,
it's completely unfair.
And there's things that are that they consider to be completely controversial that they'll throw an NC-17 on. That other stuff that's probably just as bad, will get
PG-13
movies.
God, you cannot show a penis.
Man,
God forbid.
They hate it. They hate it.
They're getting more lenient on
dicks.
They are starting. Well, that's because there are a lot of.
I know there are no boners. No boners in
no,
an
never
an
erect penis. It's too aggressive.
I saw.
That's what they say. They call it aggressive. They say erect penis. Is an aggressive
thing.
It's
gonna come after you?
No, bonus allowed.
It's too scary for people.
So there's a horror movie about a dentist who kills people. I don't know what.
The dentist. Yes.
I think in the that second really one, lucky. In the second one, is that what it's called?
No, it's called The Dentist.
Yeah,
I saw it.
I think
dentist.
In the second one, there is a dick in it.
Why is there a dick in a dentist movie?
Well, he goes into a pool. He goes skinny dipping in a pool with like some chick, and then.
Dentist goes skinny dipping?
Yeah, and
the murder.
Where
did
he bring his tools?
Well, he's just at his house. Like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's the dentist. You just see his dick. And I'm like,
Kevin Bacon's dick in Wild Things.
And in Hollow Man.
In Wild Things.
Yeah,
Hollow
see his dick in Hollow Man?
You don't
it's
see
like
his
all,
dick
it's
in
all
Man.
Muscly and shit. It's like. X-ray.
Oh, that's right. No,
but you totally see his
dick. No, you see his dick like full on in Wild Things. He's showering towards the end of the film. And you see him with flaccid dick just turning around. He's like, hey, how's it going?
Hey,
and you're
dick.
Like, wow, there's Kevin Bacon's
dick.
Yeah,
I look like Kevin.
6 degrees of separation.
Yeah, I know you do. You look like Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon, he's done. What? I'm trying to think of like a really awful movie Kevin Bacon's
Oh,
done.
Man.
I like Hollow Man.
Hollow
Man
was entertaining
awful.
For me when it came out.
That's
it could be awful now.
It's because you're just pro Kevin Bacon dick. I think that's pretty apparent.
I am not that pro Kevin
that
Bacon
dick. But you're kind of pro.
Well, it's not like I hate Kevin Bacon's dick.
So
it's not like I wish
Kevin
Bacon's
dick.
I am anti Kevin Bacon's dick.
Why are you anti Kevin Bacon's
dick? It's just all over the place. Wild Things, Hollow Man, that's two more than
and
I
many
want
more.
To
but they're only the collective time that they're in those films pale in comparison to the dude in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Jason Segel.
Yeah, Jason
right.
Segel's
yeah,
dick's all over that movie.
That's right.
He's got a dick.
It appears twice in the film.
Well, he tries to show his dick in every movie he's in. That's his deal, right?
Yeah.
No, not in every movie.
Well, he likes to.
Most
yeah.
of them.
What other movie did he show his dick in?
He almost showed it in, what was it?
Knocked Up?
Knocked Up, he almost
no.
showed it there. Yeah,
no,
he was completely butt naked in that scene where the earthquake happens.
That's right.
That yeah, but right. he was covering
ah.
his...
Yeah, but... I mean,
sure.
That's not how he wanted it.
Yeah. Like, I think I read somewhere that he likes to show his dick.
Well,
unless that's a Judd Apatow thing. And
he's
not
got
a
it is a Judd Apatow thing.
Okay.
He does Judd Apatow, in almost every movie, with the exception of, like, 40-Year-Old Virgin, he has dick in it. In Walk Hard, in Forgetting Sarah
mm-hmm.
Marshall. Does Knocked Up have... No, it doesn't have
I
dick.
Don't think Knocked Up has
it
any
has
dick.
Almost
unfortunately.
Dick. It has almost dick.
Exactly
I think I think they probably eliminated the dick because they show the crowning of the baby,
which is like
graphic.
A dick.
I'm sure the MPAA viewed that as aggressive
wait,
vagina.
Wait a minute. Is that a dick? No. No, sir.
No, it's just aggressive vagina.
It's just a crowning baby. All right, but no more dicks then.
But it better be hilarious, this movie, and make millions.
It better have humor and feelings.
How do you get put on the MPAA? Like, who makes these decisions that we all need to go to Craigslist?
It's a secret society, that in Eyes Wide Shut.
It's Skull and Bones.
There's a
piece of paper. I hate Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh man.
It's a Kubrick film.
I know, sucks.
Was that you and me watching Eyes Wide Shut?
Yeah, we didn't make it through that one very well.
It was a tough one to get through.
We labored through Eyes Wide Shut.
Mario Speedwagon made me watch that because he loves Kubrick movies. And I love Kubrick movies.
I love Kubrick movies too.
But that movie sucked.
It was hard to stomach, man.
You know,
and he still stands by it and defends it.
I want to hear from somebody that loves that movie and make me understand why
Mario Speedwagon is
good. I just don't get it. I fully accept the possibility that I might be too dumb to get it.
I would say that.
I bet like half the reason people like it is because they find something in it, and the other half is because they want to be able to tell other people that they like it.
There's also titties in it.
I think the most irritating
CGI people in there so that you couldn't see some titties.
Yeah. I think the most irritating part about Eyes Wide Shut for me was that, like, Tom Cruise's main character trait was that he pretty much repeated everything that was said to him.
Yeah.
Like, it was a weird Kubrickian thing that, you know, in some movies, he's always got these little weird kind of quirky things about the main characters or about his films in general. But that is not something that I can handle after the 100th time that he repeats an average line. Like, I heard the shopkeeper say, "You have 72 cents as your change."
I have 72 cents as my change?
Yeah. Yeah, get the fuck out of my stomach.
So, Tinsen, what's yours?
Okay, it's hard for me to pick a movie that I really hate, because I am notoriously kind of a sucker for finding a bad movie on television or something and watching it because it's terrible.
Yeah.
I love it. That being
you
said...
You are notorious
for that. I am. That being said... and I believe the main actor here was cited in the Razzie's Worst of the Decade nominees, and that is the fantastic actor Rob Schneider. I have seen The Animal.
Oh, The Animal is infuriating.
More times than I would care to admit.
Why do you do that?
I don't know.
He's a glutton for punishment.
You know what? I didn't mind. I didn't mind the Deuce Bigelow films that
Deuce Bigelow, the first one I liked.
And European Gigolo isn't like the worst movie ever, but
now,
The Animal is
The Animal is just god awful.
Is it
now,
worse than The Hot Chick?
I never forced
you
myself
to
watch
I would
the hot
say
chick.
I would say that the pacing of The Animal is worse than the pacing.
I don't
of the
know
hot
what
chick.
That what is the premise.
Now first, okay, first of all, I must say
he's a postman.
There are two reasons I hate this movie. One is because it's the movie The Animal. The second is when I saw this movie in the theaters.
Why?
Don't ask me why. I was a young
why?
Boy.
How old was that? Young?
What do you mean? You were in high school.
I don't know, dude.
I know you were in high school.
What
because
year
we're
did
the same age.
Oh, I have dug myself into a big
yeah,
old
grave. Yeah, I know.
Hang on. So we get it. You were there and you shouldn't have been there. The Animal came out in 2001. So I was too old to have seen The Animal in theaters, granted. It further infuriated me though.
Wait,
because
so you lied to us? You didn't see the movie in the theaters?
No, I did. I'm saying I was too old
and for it to be okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
That was the first film that I ever went to where they showed advertisements in the movie theater. And that was my first experience of that happening, and that just soured me to no end. That being said, the movie is still The Animal. The premise, Castelli, for those of you at home who have not seen this glorious film, is that Rob Schneider has some sort of terrible accident. I don't even recall what type of accident it. Like, he gets hit by a truck or something.
Yeah,
it is
something like getting hit by.
Hit
a truck.
By
a
truck.
Wait, he gets hit by a truck and he has animal powers?
No, it gets better.
Oh no, here's the Wikipedia. It says, thank you. He's He swerves to avoid a seal in the road. A seal.
God damn it, really?
And then crashes over a cliff. He's critically injured, but is rescued by a doctor.
Yes.
Wilder.
This, yeah.
A mad scientist who puts him back together using animal parts.
Yes, this scientist, from what I remember, has just an enormous warehouse of scientific nonsense garbage. Like, if I remember, he has a big old, like, man-sized hamster wheel in this warehouse, you know, for the animals. And Rob Schneider is about to die, and the only way that he can, this doctor, this animal magic doctor, can save him is not by rushing him to a hospital and getting human transplants, but by taking animal parts, which he, I assume, has in igloo coolers lying all around that warehouse.
Or he just kills the living animals.
On the spot.
Yeah.
So Rob Schneider gets filled to the brim with these animal parts, so much so that he begins to take on the traits of these animals themselves. Throughout the course of the film, he embodies no fewer than like 20 different animals, so I assume this was a very major operation, and this scientist should be given some sort of award.
He got like a horse dick, right? I mean, I saw that preview where he's got like a horse boner.
Does he have a horse boner? Well, I don't think he got his boner replaced, but I think that was like one of the unexplained magic side effects. Is that since he has horse parts in him, he gets a horse boner sometimes.
I don't know why we can't just be happy that Rob Schneider got a job. And then
I really like
that he was very popular in this.
He was kind of popular, but I was just happy that he was able to put food on his table for his family.
Yeah. Well, you know who keeps giving him jobs is Sandler. Yeah. Sandler keeps giving him jobs. And to be honest, you know, I'd keep making Chris Bogue movies.
You know what? More power to more power to Sandler.
I'm so tired of Chris Bogue movies.
Can you imagine if like a member of Octavarius just became that Rob Schneider character?
But instead,
like David Spade, like if I starred in like a really shitty sitcom.
If I had a buddy of mine who was like the Rob Schneider of our circle of friends. And I was making movies. Yeah, I'd shove him in those like minor supporting roles. I'd give him the delivery guy role. I'd give him "You Can Do It, Man." But I would not.
He was great in all those.
I would not give that son of a bitch a leading part.
You wouldn't give me the animal.
I would find somebody better. If you were our Rob Schneider, I would make you the funniest side character, and you would love that character.
Who could make the animal better? You could put fucking George Clooney in the animal and the movie would still suck.
I would love to see George Clooney in the animal. I think George Clooney could take that pile of shit that is in the animal and spin it into gold.
I saw George Clooney in some shitty movies sometimes. Watch One Fine Day with Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah.
Is it animal shitty, though?
It's Batman and Robin shitty.
No, it's pretty bad, you know? Batman and Robin was a pretty shitty movie, too.
Yeah, it was pretty shitty.
You know, did George Clooney save that film? No!
Oh, boy.
But damn, you know? Is he handsome.
Is that... Oh, he's God, he's so dreamy handsome. As hell.
And charming.
God.
Oh, my God.
If there's one actor, you know?
George Clooney?
Well, I'd love to go on about George Clooney and the possibility of him starring in Rob Schneider movies forever. but my recording device, I believe, only goes up until about 45 minutes before it's going to delete this entire thing. So I want to make sure we get Mark's movie in as well. So, Mark,
here we go.
Why don't you spin us one here?
There's not a lot of things that I hate. But I can tell you the one that created the most disappointment, and I'm sure I'm not alone, was Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
Well, this is going to be controversial.
What made it so bad, you know, I'm sure that there's quite a bit of literature on the subject already, but what made it so painful for me as a child was that I had to lie to myself when I left the theater, because I was looking forward to seeing it so bad. And I left, and there was like an awkward silence between like me and my other friends at the time, and we were like, pause. That was great! I'm so glad Star Wars is back!
You know what, Mark? I am actually with you on this one, because granted, perhaps my movie taste at that age was not great,
you're talking to somebody who saw The Animal apparently when he was 14. But I did, if I remember, I saw The Phantom Menace, I think, three times in theaters.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Now, granted, I had a couple of friends who were way more into Star Wars than me at the time.
But three times?
Look, I know what I did, and I'm not proud of it.
That's a... Like, I saw it once, and I was... You know what? To be honest, I think Phantom Menace has good pacing. And I think they're
good
parts.
It just has
Darth Maul rules, man. Yeah. Darth Maul rules.
But you know.
Well, the problem is too. It seems like the original Star Wars movies are so timeless, and they did so much to mess up. Like I even had a problem when they went back and they put new things into the original Star Wars movies, so there'd just be some giant creature walking because it looked so out of place. It looked like it was just pasted in. And
it
I think
was.
That was the problem with Jar Jar Binks that people had.
The one problem.
Well, the thing was, apparently, I guess when the original Star Wars movies were made, C-3PO was supposed to be like some like jive-talking robot, like he was straight out of Shaft or something. He was supposed to be using like 70s like street lingo. And that's what they had in mind. And then whoever the gentleman who voiced C-3PO was, he came in, he read his audition. They did it as a proper Englishman. They liked it and they cast that, and that, you know, that dialect isn't gonna be, you know, we're not gonna look at that in 10 years and be like, man, what the hell were they thinking? It holds up. Whereas Jar Jar Binks, whatever time that was a good idea at, passed before the movie even came out.
A good time.
Yeah. So now it's just an embarrassment to watch it. And they did things like that. Where it seems like the original movies didn't really do that.
Don't worry, they fixed it, though, by making Jar Jar Binks a senator.
Yeah.
At least they got him away from the main plot.
Yeah,
line.
They wrote him out of there. They knew they fucked up.
Oh, yeah, we wrote this guy really racist. Oh, shit.
Let's just put him in the Galactic Senate.
Yeah, you're right.
And then have him be
Misa, go there.
And then have him be the deciding vote to end the Empire, which I thought was very
funny.
And
the Republic.
And the Republic.
End the Republic.
Well,
sit together, Wolf.
Well, and you know, the thing was, here's the thing, too. We had Chewbacca. In the original one, Chewbacca was great because he didn't even talk. He was so funny. He just had his grunts. But he was competent, you know? Like, he would get into his mishaps, but he could repair the Millennium Falcon, you know? He was pretty advanced.
And he was a badass.
Jar Jar Binks, everything he did in the movie was an accident. He was a bumbling ass who fucked everything up. And
well,
a few times that he actually solved a problem, it was completely on accident.
Yeah, in the battle on Naboo, he was a total accidental war hero, and that's not okay.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
Yeah, there aren't really a whole lot of redeeming qualities to him.
I'm more pissed off at Anakin's like a little bitch monster. And
well, that was in the second part.
Both of them.
Anakin was always a little bitch monster.
He was a little boy in the first one.
You could completely
the most annoying possible little boy. Like,
R2,
so
get us out of this autopilot. It's gonna get us both killed.
Whoa! Ah, he accidentally saved everything!
Oh, accidental!
It's like, what do you want, Sepulveda?
No, this is pod racing.
It's like if William Wallace was an accidental hero, Braveheart would have sucked.
Agreed. Where's your point?
And I think,
absolutely agree with you. It would have totally sucked if Braveheart was that Jack.
Actually, that could have made a great comedy.
That Rob Schneider could have started.
Rob Schneider's Braveheart.
Is the Jar Jar.
Could end on that one there.
I think
he
comes
off.
Yeah.
Rob Schneider is William Wallace.
So, I think that about covers it. That was very, very insightful. I got a lot of information out of everybody that I didn't know before.
A lot of real priceless information and analysis.
Yeah. Well, this is the official ending of the podcast.
I hope that was helpful to Robert.
Don't forget your
Oh, my sign-off?
Yeah, but you didn't do it last week.
Fuck it. See you guys next week. Have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye!